Hey, good day, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Total Wellness Radio. Today, we catch up with Michelle Wax. Or I guess I should say, Michelle caught up with us. Michelle is on an amazing journey, traveling all of the states, filming her documentary, American Happiness. And she was gracious enough to sit down with us for a few minutes and share with us and our listeners the backstory behind why she's on such an amazing journey. So, sit back and enjoy this episode of Total Wellness Radio. We have a very special guest today on Total Wellness Radio, and this is kind of a step to a different direction of what we normally do, because we usually, as I mentioned earlier, we get to interview practitioners from around the world and their modalities and the things that they're doing, why they're doing what they're doing. And this is along those lines. We're going to interview Michelle Wax from Boston, Massachusetts today. Michelle, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. Very excited.
You're on an amazing journey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quite
so,
the journey.
So share with our listeners, how did this all take off? How did this get started in your mind that you wanted to travel the country and document American happiness?
Sure. So about a year or so ago, I got into filming short videos. And prior to that, I had a background that was not related at all. I own a cookie catering company in Boston.
I saw that, yeah.
So big into the food world. And I got into filming videos kind of by accident. I just filmed an Instagram story and had loved doing it. My friends found it hilarious, so I just kept doing that.
Now, do you still have that original filming somewhere?
I do.
Is it on your Instagram?
It still? Is. It is. Yes.
Okay. Well,
yes.
We'll
if you scroll back, I can send it to you guys
later.
As well. It's basically me in front of an ice machine in a parking lot, and I'm just making snarky comments about it, which doesn't make any sense. And my friend filming it was like, I don't know what you're doing right now, but I just thought it was funny. And that kind of led me into doing these ridiculous videos on Instagram. And then I transitioned it more into happiness mindset, which is my third company I've started now, The Wax Life, which is a media platform that focuses on capturing and sharing the good and focusing on the science and, you know, mindset, happiness, kind of that whole spectrum, mm-hmm. and distilling it down into simple ways that you can become happier.
And not just in business, but like life in general, right? I mean, just take things you can take into every area.
Yeah, and how I kind of got to starting that was I had started the cookie catering company pretty young. I was 24 years old. And started with a couple $100s, very bootstrapped, and had always wanted to do that since I was a kid.
I love that.
it was a great experience, and I was pretty much at 26 years old, you know, 2 years later, where I'd wanted to be since I was a kid. And I had, you know, great family, great friends. Pretty much from the outside, everything looked to be like, okay, this girl should be ecstatic, right? She's living her dream. And I woke up every day and I wasn't in, you know, a dark place, but I was just doing fine. And right. that really bothered me because I'd worked really hard. I was mm-hmm. living my dream and I felt okay.
Fulfillment wasn't there maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I just wasn't feeling, I'd kind of been sold my entire life. You know, you go after what you want, you work hard and then you'll be happy. And yeah. I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And so I dug into the psychology behind it, kind of the way our brains are coded, and really got into that world of mindset and started making videos on it because it really made an impact in my life. And then that was probably 6 months after I filmed that ridiculous video about ice. And I found that it was really resonating with people and people, you know, they were very short videos.
Responding to it, yeah.
But I was like, okay, this is something I have to follow this. And I really enjoyed making it and editing it. And so I had the idea to film American Happiness, the day after 4th of July, where I was kind of feeling in a place where everything was going good, but I felt like I needed to take some action to kind of, maybe that's just my personality, but to kind of make a big jump. Mm-hmm. And, I just had the idea. I'm sitting on my couch and the first thing I did was I was leasing a car at the time. So I had to call up the dealership and be like, all right, am I going to buy this car if I'm going to be driving to every state in America? Because the lease was about to run out. And it was a weird connection because the random guy I called up at the dealership, he asked me what I was going to be using the car for. And I just stated it. I'm doing this. I told no one else. And he was like, wow, I did the exact same thing when I was 27 or whatever. And he didn't film a documentary, but it was this weird connection. I called this random car dealership guy and he had done the same thing. So it just kind of pushed me. Yeah. To
amazing how the universe throws confirmation in our path.
Yeah. Yes. You know? Yes, absolutely. And so once that was in motion, I, you know, kind of wrote down a list of everything I would need, the budget, all that things, and started to plan it out. And it was about a 6-month planning time frame before I left in February of this year, 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell us all the places you've been so far. I'm looking at your website, and by the way, for the listeners, share with them where they can check this out on the web.
Yeah, sure. So the website is The Wax Life. My last name is Wax, so W-A-X Life / American Happiness. Also, if you just Google American Happiness documentary, it should pop up. I've pretty much been right now. I'm in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I've pretty much been everywhere south and west. Okay. And a little bit of east. So I started in Boston, where I'm from, went down south, kind of zigzagged to the west coast, and now I'm zigzagging back.
Okay.
So I have about 6-7 more states to hit before I return back to Boston.
How many stops have you made so far? Are you keeping like a...
You know, people have been asking me that. I should know the number, but I would say I'm about 42 states in. Which, now saying that out loud, sounds a little insane.
42 states, and you started February of this year?
Yes. Yes. So I've been moving pretty quick. So.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
My mind's trying to comprehend that, too.
I've been about, I would say, about 2 nights in each state. So, yeah, it's been pretty quick. It's been a lot of driving. Yeah.
So what's your end goal for all this that you're documenting? What is your hope that people get from this?
Yeah, so I really wanted to focus on the good in America and happiness and how people got there, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, you know, they do go through hard times, difficult situations, yeah. but most people are good people and they're trying to be happy. And I really wanted to showcase that across America, because I feel like a lot of negativity is highlighted, and I want to focus on that.
Why is that getting so much center stage?
The negativity?
Yeah, why? I mean, you talked about the brain and the coding and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, what is the attraction of this like misplaced appeal for all the negativity?
Yeah, so what I talk about in the, I've been speaking at colleges along the way as well on it, and what I learned, what was really interesting, was that your brain is coded from our primal days to kind mm-hmm. of be on high alert. Because when in our primal days, you know, we were designed to keep ourselves safe, to keep ourselves mm-hmm. alive. So
fight or flight.
Right, right. So your brain is still coded that way, even though our outside world is super different. So it comes across as that, you know, negativity, that uncertainty, that stress. So that's why so many people are in that state, which is no one's fault. But right. what I learned in doing all this research is that you can train your mind out of that, sure. and you can look for the good. And
in my day, so I haven't watched a news program in 20 years, wow. like a commercial like news program. If I find out about the news, it's by happenstance, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't seek it out. I don't read newspapers. I don't go online. And in my day, it was that bad sells. That's what worked. Our term was, you know, 30 years ago, that when I was in my 20s, right? It seemed to us, well, if it's negative, it sells. Mm-hmm. People's attention is drawn to it. And maybe that's playing into what you're talking about, too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it just, when all the focus is on that, it can just kind of spiral. And it's not really helping anyone become happier. So mm-hmm. I wanted to focus on the people I've been interviewing have just been incredible people. And they've gone through crazy situations, like their house being blown away by a tornado, being, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, all these things that could really bring you down, sure. and you could stay there, and they've found a way to rise from that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I really want to highlight, is how they did that. So if you're not in an ideal space right now, how you could get there.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what do you folks think about all this journey you're on? I've seen some of the videos with your father. He seems like a kick.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. They've been incredibly supportive. It's funny because both my dad and my mom, their friends kind of were like, is she going with anyone? Is she good? You know what I mean? Are concerned about safety. And my friends are like, she'll be fine. She'll figure it out. So they've always kind of been like that, which has been great.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were sad I was leaving, but yeah. They've been following along. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Siblings?
I have two brothers.
Two brothers?
Yes. What did they think? Both great.
Older or younger?
One older brother, one younger.
Oh,
both
you're
4
right
years
between.
On either side.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Did you have an interesting upbringing?
I did.
With an older and a younger brother.
I feel like it developed, you know, a tough skin, kind of a snarky personality, we grew up watching Seinfeld, so I feel like that is, that's like all we watch, so that's like how I think, I feel like. But yeah, my older brother actually came and met me in Vegas, which was a blast. He had been there a few times. And then my younger brother has always kind of done his own thing. He's always been an entrepreneur. So he supports it as well. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Becca, you got to have questions too. This is an amazing journey. Let's just capture. Just
what is the overall time frame it will take you when you, or do you have a like time frame of when you'll be back home? You left in February.
Yeah.
It's mid-April now.
Mm-hmm. So I should be back in about a week, actually, even though I'm in Wyoming right now, because I lined up everything, about a week. So I would say end of April, and then people keep asking me how long it's going to take to edit and everything like that to get it released. I'm not sure, but I'm hoping by end of year or early next year. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you're going to do all the your own distribution on that and everything? And
that's something I have to figure out. Yeah. People keep asking me that, but I have to figure that out.
Isn't it amazing how people ask questions we don't have answers to, yet we keep on the journey? We're just going to keep pushing forward.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because a few people have said, what credentials do you have to be doing this? I'm like, I have none.
Does that matter?
Yeah, exactly. I know.
You're happy.
So, yeah. It's been.
A videographer, a filmmaker, a traveler, adventurer. All the title doesn't make the person makes the title.
Right. I love that.
They need to understand that.
Yes.
That's what happens.
Yes.
I'm just curious. I suspect that you yourself have had to overcome some things that plays into why you're documenting this with other people as well. Can you maybe touch on some of that?
Yeah. So I was at a spot where I'm, 26 years old, and I had started a company. It was doing well, which is what I'd always wanted to do. I had a lemonade stand when I was a kid, had always been into that. And like I said, I had great friends, great family, great relationship. I had all the material things I'd ever wanted. I felt very guilty that I wasn't at this level of happiness I thought I should be at. And I didn't understand it. And I remember I was feeling very kind of antsy about it, and feeling of stuck, being stuck. And I signed up for this course that was related to sales. It wasn't even related to mindset or anything like that. And the first week they talked about mindset, and they talked about how important it is to get to that level, and how basically going into the mind and how powerful it is. And I just became, kind of obsessed with that concept. And I started going to conferences and reading books and watching videos. And it made such a tremendous impact in my life, where every day, even if something is going wrong, quote unquote, there's still good things in your life, and there's so much that you can be appreciative for. And excuse me, I feel like a lot of my friends, I'm 28, and a lot of my friends, they don't have that same outlook, and I it pains me. And so that's why I really want to do this, is to kind of highlight the simple tweaks or the paths that people have taken to get to that point.
Do you feel like they feel like there's lack of choice or lack of options, or that they're convincing themselves they're stuck versus putting forth some effort to get out of the rut? I mean, what do you feel it is?
I think it's that, I think it's hard when you're surrounded by people that are like constantly complaining or they're negative, because it just kind of, that's kind of just the spiral. But I think it's that they don't see that there's like another option than just kind of constantly complaining about stuff.
Looking at things
that
from a different angle.
Yeah. So like positive content and just learning about the brain and things like that, it really made an impact. So I want to just share that where I can.
Yeah. The reason I ask that is because obviously with what we do, I mean, people do not come here like just won the lottery, got a great attitude, everything's, life's great. I mean, we're in the problem solving business, right? I mean, that's what we do, and it can grate, right? And so I'm always looking for ways, and that's why I asked the question of tools or things that they can plug into that will help pull them out of that. I mean, that's because that's just everything. That's just whether it's their health, their spirituality, their relationships, their finances, right? It all boils down to that, right? I mean, what is my viewpoint on this, and what things am I willing to exercise?
Right.
I had a conversation with a guy the other day. He's been a doctor for 30 years, educator. And we are having a conversation, and I want to go back and revisit this conversation with him because I didn't say what I should have said in that moment, right? Mm-hmm. And he tried to tell me that change and effort were the same thing. Mm. And my experience suggests that it's not, right? Because change happens whether we want to or not. We're not riding horses, right? We're driving cars, right? So change happened. Didn't matter what we felt about it. Change, you know, good or bad, change is going to continue to take place in our bodies, in our minds, mm-hmm. in society. It's going to continue to happen. It takes effort to influence positive change. That's where the disconnect seems to come in, is that people aren't, you know, when they come in here and they're doing food logs or they're doing things they have never done before and they're, you know, they're becoming accountable to other people because they say they want to improve, like going to the gym and with a trainer, right? We mm-hmm. say we want to be accountable to things, but yet where's the effort, the commitment to the effort going to come from to make that change happen and have that positive influence in our lives? Mm-hmm. And I think you've heard me say this several times, Becca. It's like the biggest challenge we face is getting people dedicated to saving their own lives. Mm. It's crazy. But that is truly, it's not that, you know, nutrition is not scientific. That's been around for 150 years. It's not like the tools that we can use or discover, like on your journey, the tools you're going to discover, it's not like they haven't been around. It's that getting people in a position to put forth the effort to use them.
Yeah.
That seems to be the biggest... Like, if you could just unlock, if you can get that unlock and get it, like, and bottle that, you know what I mean? It seems like that would change everything.
Yeah, and that's something I've been talking about at the colleges, because before I go in, you know, the leaders of the groups, you know, they're always talking about how all the students are really stressed and they're panicking and things like that. And what I try to highlight in the talks I give is that your brain's natural setting or wiring will go to that path of stress and of feeling kind of like you don't want to make a change. It'll go to the easiest path. But I try to get across that once you become self-aware of that and realize that's not your fault, that's how your brain will naturally go, you can decide to change, and kind of making that comparison that, okay, this is just the human mind, it's not your mind, you can actually take control of it, has clicked with some students. So,
it's power of choice is amazing.
Yeah.
And we just don't exercise it enough. That's just what I see. What do you think?
I completely agree. It's the whole we're not a tree, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we have the choice to move ourselves.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We're not forced to be in the same place for our entire life.
Right.
My question for you would be kind of circling back to you talking about, you know, you have the successful business at, you know, what most would consider a very young age. Most people don't even, reach that. And feeling sort of like stuck or not happy or not feeling as, you know, fulfilled as maybe you expected to feel. Mm-hmm. I think in our society, we're always expecting that the destination is when we will be happy. Mm-hmm. And so learning to be happy along the way in the journey is kind of key. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be curious you touch on that in your documentary as far as, you know, we think that the destination is when we'll be most happy, but really it's when we're making progress.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering, is it because you had sort of reached this place where you weren't continuing to progress, so even though you were successful and everything was great, because you didn't have progress, mm-hmm. which is like the biggest contributor to happiness, that's why 100%. You felt like in a funk, even though you were in a really good place.
Yeah. And I that's it, absolutely correct. And I feel like that's why I had to kind of make this not dramatic decision, but big decision to go on this journey, is because I felt like I needed to do something about it. Because everything was kind of smooth sailing, but there wasn't a lot of progress. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do something new. So yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Don't you find that you get more fulfillment out of a contribution than being the recipient of things? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
I think that's part of like the human mm-hmm. experience as well, is that there's always more gratitude, more connectedness, more awareness, more positivity that comes from the outcome of giving first, right? And then seeing what that manifests in someone else's life.
Yeah.
Because then both are happy, you know?
And it's funny you say that, because I've been just kind of sending out postcards as I've been going around.
Yeah.
And it's just a postcard and people get so excited. First
now,
of all,
is it digital or is it actual real
paper?
No,
it's an old school postcard.
No one sends real postcards.
We do that here.
Oh,
yes.
You do that? Okay, yes. Awesome. Yeah,
real
yeah, so you know. Yeah.
Where you take the time.
Yeah,
it's
to write it out. Yeah.
I don't care
and
what anybody says.
It
trumps a text message every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so exciting to get a piece
you.
of me. mail. And yeah. But it's just been, like you're saying, the contributor, it's been, you know, I didn't really think too much of it. I'm like, oh, this is a cool postcard, I'll send it out. But it makes such an impact in people's lives, like those small things.
Yeah. It makes all the difference.
Definitely.
Makes us more connected, you know. Mm-hmm. And it also, you know, and to go circle back to some of the things you already mentioned on, is like how much we all are really alike.
Mm.
Right. I mean, we think that we're so different and, you know, my generation versus, you know, younger generation, whatever. And it's not. It's the same stuff. It's it's a repeat. Let's do it right this time, you know, or better.
Yeah.
And Let's just do it better this time.
Because I've seen it through doing these interviews. It's crazy, you know, college students all the way up to people that are in their 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And everyone is craving the same things. They're looking for the same things. 100%. And yeah,
we want to feel appreciated. We want to feel welcome. We want to feel part of. It's you know, the rest of it's just details. It really is. I mean, it's just the rest of it is just a few differences in what that looks like. But it's all boils down to the same thing. Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that really contributes to people being unhealthy. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, health is based on energy, and it's, you know, like going back to the negative and how the brain's, you know, from its origins worked and what it looked for and would lean on to. It's just breaking those patterns.
Mm-hmm. What do you
capture that? Capture that little piece and then shoot it out to the universe, right? I mean, because that can change lives.
What do you find in your practice that it's that initial decision to be like, okay, I want to get healthier, that
you know,
puts
what
people gets, on the right path?
You know what makes people want to get healthy? Ill health.
Mm.
They just get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. They have to come to, and everybody's got a different breaking point. Everybody's got a different, I mean, we've got some tragic stories in the past. I mean, I had a lady come here with one of my old handbooks, two versions back, that my father, when he was still in clinical practice, you know, wrote.
Wow.
And there's notes in the margin and questions, and they like, she found it in her husband's desk.
Mm-hmm.
He had passed away 2 weeks before from cancer. He never called, he never asked, he never pursued, he never took action of any kind when there was maybe a possibility of some help or at least pain relief, something, right, to improve the quality of his end days. And so she comes marching in carrying this thing. She's on oxygen, 80 pounds overweight. I mean, it's just crazy. And I knew God would strike me dead if I didn't try to help her.
Yeah.
Kind of had that one of those experiences, you know. And thank God she took action. Mm-hmm. Whatever level of pain it takes.
Gotcha.
You know, I think that's what everybody has to come to in certain areas of their life. Is like, I'm not paying that price anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pay a different price, you know. Mm-hmm. And then so they start looking for ways to make that happen. And it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing new under the sun. It's there. You know, but it takes a certain level of, I think people would
have a certain level of pain, but it's different for everybody.
That pain is different.
That's what's fascinating.
Like, some of it could be emotional, some of it's physical, some of it's relationship, right? It's what we, as our, like our character, our makeup, what we find to be most fulfilling for us. And we want that piece of our life to be what it's supposed to be. And we'll put forth the effort to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think happiness is the same thing. Like, if somebody is, like, someone has to be some level of unhappy that they're not okay with for them to want to make a change, right? For you, it didn't take much, right? You just felt a little stuck, and so you thought, I know I can feel better than this, so I'm going to do what I can to try and feel better than this because I know that's possible.
How long did that go on, by the way?
For else, that might take, you know, deep depression to reach that point, that pain point of wanting to change.
Right, right.
How long did you experience that?
I would say I was feeling kind of antsy, stuck like that for about a year or so.
See,
and I just
that's
kind of
amazing.
Yeah. And I thought it was different things in my life. Like I thought maybe it's the company, maybe I should be doing, I kept thinking I should be doing more. And I thought maybe it was the relationship at the time, maybe it, you know what I mean? I kept pointing to outside factors, and then I realized, no, it's myself. Yeah. And that's what led me on that path.
Yeah. Yeah. One of our favorite speakers, Larry Thompson. That was my guy, but Jim Rohn, right?
He's my guy.
Yeah. For things to change, I have to change. For things to get better, I have to get better. So it is an inside job.
Mm-hmm.
It always boils down to an inside job. I don't care
always,
what it is.
Yeah.
Whether it's building a business or getting off booze and drugs or, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right, what the thing is, it's always an inside cleanup job that has to take place. Mm-hmm. At least that's what we've seen. Health, nutrition, it's no different.
Or just getting yourself out of a rut.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's cool stuff. So you're going to be on the road for another month or two, huh?
Just another week, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or a little over a week and a half.
This is May. This is April.
Yeah, this is April. Yeah, we're almost there.
What is going on with me this week? I'm calling people up saying, well, we'll be really doing this class. It's not this week. It's next week. Or 2 weeks.
I think you're jumping ahead.
Yeah. My calendar, my internal calendar is all fouled up.
Yeah, I'm excited to get back to Boston. I've enjoyed being on the road, but it'll be good to kind of focus more on compiling and editing and getting the message out. So. Yeah.
Well, good for you. So glad you made it through Cheyenne.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
This is going to be a lot of fun having you here.
Yeah.
We'll have to clear our schedule some. How long are you going to be in Cheyenne? How long are you
going to
stick around?
Well, I'm actually leaving today.
Are you really?
Yeah, I got in, was it yesterday or Wednesday night? And then I was here yesterday and I have a few other interviews and then I'm going to be heading out. So, yeah, but I love it here.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. And for more information, be sure and catch us on Facebook Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at the Country Doctor Nutritional Center Facebook page. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in.